The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, ladies, for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We were there just a moment ago, and Brother Lofton slipped me this note about the alarms and checking into it. It's not tornado, it's flooding, and so please be comforted by that. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord," the Bible says, "thy God giveth thee." And so the Bible talks about a time of honoring. Now I want to speak to you about how to be a mother, or how to be the mother of the year. Somebody wrote this. A little boy was sitting in class, and I began to jot some things down, and said, "My mother taught me." And then the teacher came by and saw what he'd written. It was right on Mother's Day many years ago. And so she thought, well, I'm going to ask the question. So what is it that your mother has taught you? And all these strange things started coming in. And one wrote, "My mother taught me logic. If you fall off the swing and break your neck, you cannot go to the store for me." One wrote, "My mother taught me about medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way." One wrote, "My mother taught me how to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job." One wrote, "My mother taught me how to meet the challenge." What were you thinking? What were you thinking? How is it that you could think such a thing? And by the way, now that you're telling me what you're thinking, why are you talking back to me? One written about a mother, said, "Taught me humor. Taught me humor. If you're mowing the lawn and you cut your toes off, you'll not be able to finish the job." One mother taught me about becoming an adult. If you don't start eating your vegetables, you will never grow up. One taught about genetics. You are just like your father. One taught about roots. Roots. Do you think that you were born in a barn? Shut the door. One taught about wisdom of the age. When you get my age, you'll understand. But until you get my age, don't question me. I know more than you do. One taught about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. That's a good one. Okay. One taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when your father does get home. Here in our scripture, we'll see that the Bible talks about honor. One little boy, and this just kind of shows how moms are. One little boy was asked to figure out some fractions in school, and said, "If your mother bakes a cake, and there's seven children, or there's seven total, there's mom, there's dad, and five children, what would it be fraction-wise that you would receive?" And the little boy spoke up and said that I would receive my portion, my children, or my siblings would receive their portion, and my dad would receive his portion. In other words, it would not be broken into sevenths, it would be broken into sixes. And said, "No, you understand. Why would it be?" Said, "Because mom would never take her portion." Mothers give. I remember my dear mother, how she would give, and she would give, and she would give. Now, she'd always do it with a smile on her face. She never did it with a complaintive attitude. When it came time to make sure that the meal was prepared, she was always doing her part. But as you look at this verse right here, where it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," the word "honor" there carries, if you would please, a heaviness to it. It simply means to make heavy. All right? Now, do you know that we're supposed to honor them? Now, why are we supposed to honor them? We're not supposed to take them lightly. We understand that honor is something that we ought to take very serious. Honor is something that we ought to decide that is something that is heavy upon us to make sure that we do it right. We ought to make sure that today above all other days. Now, by the way, if Mother's Day was a month from now, then I'd do it a month from now. If Mother's Day was 2 months from now, I'd do it 2 months from now. But on today, and in particular, with today's honoring of this particular day, you ought to do something special. Now, by the way, can I tell you, your mom's going to expect it. Your mom's going to expect it. And if you don't do something special, your mom is going to feel a little bit let down. So whether it's a phone call that you've not made in years to come or years gone by, then make the phone call. Whether it's a little note, whether it's a letter, whether it's a rose, whether it is a candy, whether it is sending them off or sending her off shopping, whether it is doing something of that nature, make sure that they're honored. Now, I can tell you, the older a mother gets, the less honor comes their way. In our society, if you look at the way the television sells things, it's always selling those that are in the world's eyes handsome, and those that's in the world's eyes beautiful, and those that's in the world's eyes intelligent, and those that's in the world's eyes successful, and those that's in the world's eyes, if you would please, of a certain caliber. But can I tell you, as mothers grow older, many times they're not honored. They're not honored simply because of the fact that they are left by themselves. You know, a young couple comes together, they get married, and then after they're married, after a while, they begin to bear children, and before you know it, their lives are totally encompassed about with those children, and perhaps you have moved away. Maybe you moved here, and mom lives in a distant state, and maybe the time is different than what the time is right here, and maybe the fact that it's difficult to be able to communicate, maybe they're in a different country than you are, and it's a hard time to be able to communicate with them, but you have to think ahead and you have to decide that here's what I'm going to do. On this special day, I'm going to honor my mother. Now, in heaven, I wrote my mother-in-law, again, my wife and my mother-in-law a shopping gift yesterday because she's not going to be in town very long, for them to go out and shop together and buy some dresses together or whatever they want to do. And so I gave them some gift cards to be able to spend time as mother and daughter, to be able to go off and spend time together and to be able to enjoy that time together. Now, can I tell you take advantage of it while you can? My dear mother's in heaven. I can't go to heaven and say Happy Mother's Day. I can't do that. Now, I can live for God in her presence. I can. Go soul winning, and she'll be able to see me go soul winning, and I'll be able to preach the Word of God and help people, and she'll be able to see that, and she'll be able to see a son that loves people and cares about people, but I can't climb up to heaven. I don't want to be able to tell her Happy Mother's Day. But can I tell you, as long as your dear mother is alive, you ought to make a big deal of your mother. There's a little 4-year-old and a little 6-year-old, two children. They came into a flower shop and they decided they'd saved up enough money, and mama loves flowers. And so they decided they were going to buy some flowers, and they saw a flower. It had a ribbon around it and it said, "Rest in peace." They thought, man, that's neat. I mean, how many times has mom harped over and over and over again, "All I want is a little bit of peace where I can get some rest." And so this little 4-year-old and this 6-year-old bought this a big flower arrangement, and they took it home and it said, "Rest in peace," all right? They told mom, "Hey, now you can do that, because after all, we want you to have so much peace around the house that you can rest." But of course, it had a different definition to it. Now, make sure, though, that you honor your parents. You think about this. Over in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible talks about how the king of Egypt had told the Hebrew midwives that what we're going to do is we're going to take all of those boys and we're going to kill them at birth. Well, there was Moses' mother, and Moses' mother had a different plan, and Moses' mother took him and be able to build an ark, the Bible teaches, and was able to put pitch over it, and was able to take and sit it there among the flags. And you'll see this, that because she did that, there's some things that took place later on. Now, I'm saying that to say this. You have no idea how your children are going to turn out. You have no idea. Some people believe their children are going to turn out godly, and they're going to turn out serving God, and they'll never miss church, they'll never miss reading their Bible, they'll become an outstanding Christian, but you don't know, but what you can do is you can put the ingredients in there. You know, when you bake a cake, you put the ingredients in there. When you want to take and see something turn out right, you put the right things in order to get the right things out. Now, can I say this? When it comes to rearing children, we have to make sure, whether it's a mom or whether it's a dad, we have to make sure that we put the right things in. Because if you put the right things in, then certainly you stand a better chance of the right things coming out. Let me give you three things to do as becoming the mother of the year in God's sight. Statement number one, be a priestly mother. A priestly mother. Now thank God for moms that know how to cook, and thank God for moms that know how to clean, and thank God for moms that know how to teach their children what to do and how to do and when to do and where to do and why to do. And thank God for that, but there needs to be some moms that's going to rise up and teach your children to walk with God. Teach your children what it is to be able to get the prayers answered. One day, you'll be dead and gone. And what you put in your children right now is what will last the rest of the days of their life. I read last night, I was at the banquet, and I read 3 John 4, where it says that there's no greater joy, and of course this is likened onto a dad looking onto his children, there's no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth. You know, there's no greater joy than to find that you have children that want to please. Now, they're not perfect, no. They do things wrong, yes. They're not all the way maybe making wise decisions all the time, but wouldn't it be better for them to make most of decisions wise, and wouldn't it be better for them to take and step out to serve God most of the time, and wouldn't it be better for a child to have a desire? Now, they're not going to get that. Can I tell you? They're not going to get that out there. They're going to get that by a godly dad. They're going to get that by a godly mom, and the Bible says that as we taste of the Lord, it says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. Somebody's got to whet the appetite. If a child grows up and a child's not wanting to go to church, it's probably because mom did not spend time whetting the appetite of that child. And by the way, can I tell you that most of the time, your children will not grow up to do what you say. They will only grow up to do what you do. You know, as you come to church and you like church, that little one looks at you. And by the way, doesn't matter what excuse you give for not coming. I'm saying this morning, be that priestly, that godly, example of what a mother ought to be. Give your children a pattern in which to follow. Help them to see it. Now, that's not saying if you don't do that, that a child doesn't stand a chance, they'll never turn out to do anything for God. That's not saying that. But it is helpful. If a child will see somebody, come here, honey, do you mind? This is Mother's Day. And so it is helpful to be able to have somebody that will walk beside you. You know, my dear wife, all these many years, never been married now. This coming up May 25, we'll be married 31 years. 31 years. Boy, that's older than a lot of people in this room. 31 years. You're looking at grandpa and grandma. And 31 years. Now, wait, watch this, if you will. Okay? But never one time did she ever rise up. I remember walking, I'd graduated from Bible college. And I remember this distinctively. And I walked, and we lived on a little bitty farmhouse. And I remember walking in that little bitty house. And I looked at my wife, and I said, guess what? She said, what? I said, we're moving to New York City. She didn't hit me over the head with a frying pan. She didn't curse me out in Christian words. She didn't throw a fit. She said, okay, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. She said, all right, tell me when we're packing. I never one time. I remember when we left for New York City and we were there serving the Lord for some time. You mind walking with me a little bit? I remember serving the Lord in New York City for some time, and I remember coming into the house and saying in our apartment, we lived in a little bitty apartment. I mean, we just had a little bitty apartment. I mean, it had one of those stand-up showers, and we lived in Brooklyn, and you could, Brother Harris, you could stand up, you would stand up in the shower this way with the head pointed this way and get wet. Then you had to step out of the shower and step back in the shower to get wet back here. And it had a toilet about a foot and a half from the shower. And so if you took a big step, you'd step in the toilet. And of course, if your spouse got mad at you, she could flush you, and you could be in downtown Manhattan by noon. But I remember, and we had, remember the Coca-Cola crates? Oh, we had Coca-Cola crates. We had four, and then we had four more on top of the four, and we sat there, and that was our first dinner table. And we had a bedroom, and inside the bedroom, we had a bed, and it was a small bed, but the room was small. And so the bed was nestled up against the head, was nestled up against the wall, and the sides were nestled beside the wall. And so the only way you could get into it is crawl in and out at the foot. You know, very small. Paid $850 a month. And it was for like a 850 square foot apartment. And now wait a minute, watch this. So, but never one time did she bellyache. Now, so watch this, if you will. And then we went from New York City to Mississippi. Mississippi is where the molasses even goes slow in the summertime. And I had to get used to their speech impediment there. And so I would listen to them talk. And boy, they begin to talk. And they were so slow. And they begin to talk. And I would stand there and I would listen to them talk. And I was trying to get them to talk faster, but it never worked. We served there for 8 years, you know, but never one time complained. Went to Tennessee, in eastern Tennessee, and the boys were born in Mississippi. They were born Mississippians, and our girl was born in Tennessee. Sometimes she'll walk around barefoot. I say, Rebecca, why are you barefoot? She said, I'm a Tennessee girl. I said, okay. All right, now, wait a minute, watch this. If you in the ministry, never complained. Now wait, I'm going to show you something. Never complain. We went on the road in evangelism for 12 years. 12 years. Our daughter would always say this, where's our home tonight? We lived in hotel after hotel after hotel after hotel. We were vagabonds. For 12 years, I'd go to one church, start preaching. I would get there on a Friday night, go Saturday soul winning all day, knock doors, try and get people in church, preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Sometimes it would go over to a Thursday or sometimes even a Friday. And we would preach. The boys would get together. They would preach to the children. I'd preach to the teenagers and to the adults. We lived that way for 12 years on the road. I mean, lived out of suitcases for 12 years. When we came to Texas about 5 years ago and I took the church here to become pastor here, my children did not know what it was like to have a room. They didn't know what it was like to have a dresser. I was afraid they're still going to live out of suitcases and not know what it was to put clothes in a dresser drawer. They never had a dresser drawer. My daughter hadn't had a dresser drawer since she was 3 years of age when we went into evangelism. She didn't know what it was like to have her own room. Didn't know what it was like to have a dresser drawer. Didn't know what it was like. And all she knew was just living in hotel after hotel after hotel. And she lived on the road. We raised her, specifically the youngest one, on the road. All the other ones too. But she would remember least of all. And now what am I saying? I'm saying this. There was an example. There was an example. Perfect mom? No. Perfect dad? No. Perfect God? Yes. And being able to take our children and point our children to the Lord and just trying to do our very best. Just trying to help them to see that, hey, look, it's not always pleasurable and it's not always fun. And it does take a little bit of character to say, look, I'm going to be faithful to God and I'm going to be faithful in church and I'm going to come and I'm going to do my part. And I don't want my children to use me as an excuse to stumble and not serve God and just throw in the towel and say it's not worth it. Hey, can I tell you, serving God is worth it. Wait a minute, thank you. Watch this, if you will. And so here's what we understand. We understand that there is that which is a priestly mother. The Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, how you see that there was a lady that had married that which is a Levite. And the Bible says that she conceived and she bare a goodly child and hid him for 3 months. And of course, this is talking about the mother of Moses. And you see that all these things were taking place and how you'll see that Pharaoh, of course, said to kill, if you will, all those newborn boys. But here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And it was the sister of Moses that was standing over there by the flags. And she watched and she saw. And she saw that now Pharaoh's daughter's coming up and kind of taking an interest, and she said, would you like for me to get somebody to go and take care of the baby and to nurse the baby? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, I would. And she went and got her mother, and the mother got paid for taking care of her own son. See, when you decide that you're going to take and put God first, God rewards you. It was Moses that penned the first five books of the Bible. It was Moses that delivered 1.5 million Jews out of bondage. It was Moses that stood up before that which was the king of Egypt. It was Moses that was used of God, and he had a stammering tongue, and he couldn't speak right, but he didn't use his excuse not to serve God, and he got out there, and he gave it his very best simply because, can I tell you, he had a godly mama that just believed God and a godly mama that would go forward, and it didn't matter what everybody else was doing. And you can't raise your children like everybody else. You can't look at the neighbors and say, well, I'll do it that way. No, it needs to be done God's way, and God can help you to be able to do that. I'm saying, in order to be the mother of the year, I believe it's important that moms decide that you'll be godly mothers, priestly mothers. They say that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, that a mother has held the child, nurtured the child over 18,000 hours. Now, can I tell you, it is very, very important. And by the way, it's not just this thing. A baby is born, you take the baby and you hold the baby. And you cuddle the baby. And you burp the baby. And you feed the baby. And you change the baby. It's not just that. Sometimes when they become a little bit older, you have to encourage them. Sometimes when they get a little bit older, you have to walk beside them. I see teenagers all the time, and I say, why aren't you living for the Lord? Why don't you obey God? Why don't you do what God says? And here's what a lot of teenagers say. They say, I never had any encouragement in the home. You know what you encourage your kids to do is what they'll do? The apple that you put up here, the carrot, if you will, that's what they're going to go after. I'm not saying your kids got to preach, and I'm not saying your kids got to go to the mission field, but it sure would be nice if they were godly. Sure would be nice if they loved the Bible. Hey, sure would be nice if, hey, there's going to come a day when somebody is going to get sick, and can I tell you, God is the one that answers the prayer. God is the one that can come through. God is the one that can change a life. God is the one that can walk beside. There might be somebody that joins the military. One day they'll be in some dugout somewhere. There's going to be bullets flying everywhere. Can I tell you, that's the time your young person needs to understand what it is to call upon God, the only one that can rescue them in a time of distress. It might be a time when all of a sudden your young person is stricken with cancer or stricken with heart problems or stricken with a challenge, that they're challenged. And maybe some harlot knocks on the door one night when he's traveling all by himself. Hey, can I tell you, they need to understand that God can be their strength and God can be the one that will help them to make it through. And there's going to come a time. We look at them. Come here. We look at them and we nurture them. We nurture them. I remember a time on your knees. I remember a time when he was just a little boy. And then he grew up a little bit more. And then he grew up a little bit more. He grew up a little bit more. And now he's a man. Well, can I tell you something? I can't revert back to those days. It's over. Please understand what I'm saying. It's over. Decisions he makes right now, he makes as a man. I can't go back and say, well, Jonathan, I left something out. I forgot to teach you this when you were 8. I forgot to teach you this, son, and I'm sorry, but I forgot to teach you this when you were 9. When you were 10, I blew it. When you were 11, I blew it. No, hey, I don't want to go back and say, please forgive me. I want to be able to say, I kept him on track, and I kept him on track, and I kept him on track. And if one day he rises up and he decides to disobey God, and he decides he's not going to do what is right, it's not my fault. Thank you, BC. Watch this. So be that godly mother. Statement number one. Statement number two. I'm going to give you two more after this, and I'm done. Okay? A mother should be one that has a persevering spirit. Persevering. We did have the privilege to have a Christian school. For 12 years of her life, we couldn't Christian school. We traveled. Now, I had a conviction. Where I go, my family goes. I tell evangelists all the time. I say, now this is my opinion. But I say and still you being a big shot when you have little ones, and flying everywhere just so you can preach on a national platform somewhere and leave your children to be raised by themselves, if I were you, I'd travel in a car. I'd travel in a bus. But I would not leave my wife behind, and I would not leave my children behind. I said, my own opinion, I think you're stupid. Your children need a daddy. Oh man, there was times, come on, there was times when I was an evangelist, people would call me and say, hey, you can fly from here over here and preach for me. I said, if I can't drive and bring my family, I'm not interested. Well, you know, big man, I'm not interested. You know, my family needed a daddy. My family needed a mama. They needed people to be able to come together and say, hey, look, we're trying to teach you because one day I'm going to be dead, and one day mama's going to be dead, and one day we're going to be off of the scene, and we've got to put into you everything we can put into you right now because one day it's all going to be over.
Amen.
Can I tell you, it's important that a mother has that persevering spirit. I was not the educator in the home. Mrs. Wells was. I was out soul winning, I was knocking doors, but she'd be there and she'd be educating the kids. And by the way, did a wonderful job. And by the way, homeschooling is not for everybody.
Right.
I've seen mothers that can't read try to homeschool their kids. It don't work. I've seen moms that don't know how to teach math that try to educate their kid. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. You've got to hire somebody to come in to do it, or you've got to put them in an institution somewhere. Hey, look, don't sacrifice them just because you want to be with them. Sometimes you've got to release the responsibility for somebody that knows more than you do to help them better than you can. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. Here's a mother that was persevering. She was persevering. Here was the mother of Moses. And so what did she do? She persevered. But here's another mother. You think about Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 9, the Bible talks about how Hannah wanted a child from the Lord. And she was, the Bible talks about how she was in anguish. She just kept going to the Lord and she was in anguish. And then you'll see in verse 19 that it was reported, of course, that Hannah became with child. And then 9 months later, she bore the child Samuel. And wait a minute, why? Because she persevered. She just kept persevering. And by the way, in teaching children, it's repetitiveness that takes the place of, if you would please, them not learning. How many times do we have to say, no, 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 we do it this way. No, 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 we do it this way. No, no, come this way. This is over. This is how we, come on, over, come, over here, right here. It's that repetitiveness. Over and over again, and teaching them to sit up in church, and teaching them to carry their Bibles, teaching them to love God. Teaching them that, hey, the Word of God's important in your life and you need to spend daily time with God. Teaching them to have a burden for souls. Teaching them to love people. Teaching them to forgive. Teaching them to be gracious and kind and loving. Teaching them to be able to develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. And teaching them to walk in the Spirit, not in the fruit of the flesh. And teaching them to be all that they ought to be. I'm saying this. I'm saying, Mother of the Year, be a priestly mother, a godly mother. Are you ready? Be a persevering mother. Have that persevering spirit like Hannah. Lastly, and I'm done. Here it is. Here it is. Learn to make disciples of Christ, not disciples of you. Learn to make disciples of Christ, not disciples of you. Well, one of the things I fear, and I've said often here at our church, I don't want you to worship the preacher. I want you to worship the Lord. I'll be your friend. If you allow me, I'll probably be one of the closest friends you ever had in your life. But I'll be your friend. I'll walk beside you. I'll teach you. I'll challenge you. We'll go forward to do something great for God. But now, wait a minute. I don't want you to look at the preachers. Boy, he's it. No. Needs to be the Lord.
Amen.
Needs to be the Lord. You know, if you teach your children to walk with the Lord, there's great value there. Help them become a disciple of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, I'm almost done. The Bible says, and if any man also strive, it says, for the masteries, yet is not, it says this, yet is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So what do? We teach them to strive lawfully according to the Bible. One day in heaven, and I'm done, here it is. One day in heaven, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, by the way, at the judgment seat of Christ, we call it the Bema seat. For those of us who know our Bibles well, Bema seat. And that is the place of reward. Reward. Nobody in here, nobody in here, nobody in here, nobody in here that is saved will go and stand at the white throne judgment to be judged. Once you're saved, God instructs an angel of the Lord to write your name in the book of life, written there forever, never to be erased. Once you're saved, written in the book of life. But if you're not saved, the Bible says, and whosoever therefore was not written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So for those that are not saved, they'll go to one judgment. It's called the white throne judgment. God will bring the books out, and he'll judge them according to their works. There will be people, no doubt, there will be people that were Sunday school teachers that will say, I deserve to go to heaven. And God's going to have all their works recorded. There's the books that have the works recorded. He'll look through, yeah, that's right. That's right, you did. Oh, yes, you did. I see that too. Yes, you did. Yeah, there's another work. Oh, yep, that's it. Right there, I see it. Yep, that's it. Then you're going to open that book of life and say, but you're not here. You've never received the Lord. You're not here. The Bible talks about how an angel would come and cast them into the lake of fire.
Yes, sir.
Which would be their final abode. Now, wait a minute, though. But I'll never go to that judgment to be judged. I'm going to go like you're going to go if you're a believer in Christ. You've received Christ as Savior. You'll go to what they call the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ. When you go to the judgment seat of Christ, nobody's going to... I heard a preacher say this one time, and he didn't know his Bible very well, but I heard a preacher say one time that one day when you go before the judgment seat of Christ, that God's going to have big screens. Well, first off, I didn't know that God had screens. He said, God's going to have big screens, and he's going to flash all of your sin up before you. No. You are judged for your sin right here and now. Judgment seat of Christ is going to be the Bema seat. It's going to be a time of reward. God's going to reward you for living for him. God's going to reward you for obeying him. God's going to reward you. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I believe this. To the degree that you are rewarded is to the degree that you will reign during the millennial reign of Christ.
Amen.
I don't get it. We say we know math, but we act like we don't. So I don't get it. You know, the average man here in America, according to national statistics, will only live to be about 85. Right now, 80, 85. A lady might live just a few more years than that. That's about it. Now, you compare to a 1,000-year reign. Now, I don't profess to be extremely masterful in math, but I can tell you that 1,000 years is a whole lot longer than 85. Yet we live for the 85, and we forget the 1,000 years. Now, wait a minute. I believe at the Bema seat you'll be rewarded. I believe we'll be able to take those crowns and those things and lay them down at the Savior's feet. But the Bible does say, to whom much is given, much is required. The Bible says that you're supposed to, as you're given a little, you're supposed to do with that little in honoring God. If you're given much, you're supposed to be using that to honor God. I'm saying this. I'm saying that God talks here how a godly mother ought to be one that presents herself in a godly fashion. A priestly mother, if you will. Somebody that's a persevering spirit and somebody that is desirous to present her children as disciples of Christ. Let me give you this and I'm done. And so little children was in a classroom and said, now, what I'm going to tell you starts with an M. And it is used around the house to pick up things. Well, the answer was magnet. Matter of fact, she even said that it has six letters. And the answer was supposed to be magnet. And one little boy answered, along with 50% of the other class, mother. Six letters. Mother picks up things around the house. What can I say? We ought to be known for more than just picking up things around the house. I wish I do. I'm going to be a little mellow. I wish my dear mother was alive today. I do. She died at age 54. I wish my dear mother was alive today. I wish I could take her out to eat. I wish I could buy her a nice little dress. I wish I could do some things to honor her. Now, she's in heaven. She's a whole lot better off. But if your mother's here, honor your mother.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.